Over our gathering this evening hovers palpably, if imperceptibly, the memory of Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, the Rav Zichrono Livracha. And this in three respects. First, that a former plane has been so dedicated by Talmidim, Ma'aritzim, I'm undertaken to underwrite. Second, many of the themes to be treated with regard to tshuva, both as a specific focus and as a conspectus b'zeir anpin, b'avodasim generally, were endemic to the Rav's thought and were familiarized to us as part of our nichsitz in Basel, by shurim, drashes, writings, and discourses. Third, and primarily, however, to anyone fortunate enough to have attended the annual Kinusei Tshuva, the association of the subject and the person is both instinctive and pervasive. How vividly does the mind's eye conjure up the scene? How avidly do we once again hang on every sense? What rich and varied fare he offered. Depth and range, penetration and sweep, insight and outreach, acerbic asides and imperial perorations, exegesis and analysis, spirituality and sensitivity, exhortation and castigation, Chidush and Chizuk, Halochin, Machshove, Techochin, Agode, all impelled by the focus and passion of his magnetic personality. Ashrei Ayin Ro'as Kol Eile. Ashrei Ayin Ro'as Kol Eile, and today, Lemishma Ozen Dov Nafshein. In this, as in other areas, the quality of his achievement is wholly beyond emulation. But the concern with the issues is part of his legacy. And in his footsteps, we can at least attempt to grapple with him. Our specific topic this evening is the impetus of tshuva. What, broadly speaking, impels the person toward tshuva? How can the motive elements be distinguished? Let me clarify at the outset that I'm not dealing primarily with the Baalei tshuva in current parlance, that is, with individuals who have radically altered their credo and lifestyle, crossing the Rubicon between a secular and a religious Weltanschauung. For these, some might offer, perhaps unjustifiably, some modish psychological and sociological explanations. My focus will rather be, however, upon classical tshuva. The tshuva ordinarily intended by Nevi'im, Chazal, and Rishonim, that which takes place within the context of pre-existing relation to the Bnei Shleilam, to Torah, within a context of Emunah. Whence does that spring? Predictably, the impulses to tshuva have been classified by Rishonim. In Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yehuda lists six factors which motivate tshuva. Derech harishon, kashtimtzena teish tzarot, a person is beset by tribulations. Second, kashyavo yemei zikna v'yigiu yemei seiva, a person comes upon old age. Third, kashyishma musar chachamim amochichim, the person is exposed to musar from various sources of wisdom and inspiration. Fourth, Beit Hashegeh Adam Torat Hashem v'yikra b'divrei Nevi'im, the person directly reads Torah Nevi'im. Fifth, an eye to upcoming days, Baseret Yemei Tshuva. And sixth, more generally speaking, Kolei Tikon Nikrat Elokav Kelo Yeda Adam Atito. Whenever a person is confronted with a memento mori and the prospect of death, which might hang over him at any time, confronts him. The Meiri, in his Chibur HaTshuva, after referring obliquely to Rabbi Yehuda, expands the list to nine. And moreover, he lists them, as I'm not certain Rabbi Yehuda intended, in an order of ascending or descending worth. The list is, however, largely similar to Rabbi Yehuda's, only slightly expanded. And with respect to both, one might say that the distinctions are by and large confined to the efficient cause of tshuva, to the immediate stimulus which bears its message to a Baal Aveda. They presumably have little bearing upon the quality of the resultant tshuva. Or the merit of the Baal Tshuva may be a function of his impulse, particularly with reference to the Meiri's gradation, the content of Tshuva would probably be little affected by whether a person has received its message and been inculcated with it visually or orally, from a Sefer Musar or from a Magid Meishorim Umayret Tzedek. It is, however, precisely to the question of the quality of the tshuva, to the impact of impulse upon content, of stimulus upon substance, that I wish to address myself. In this connection, we are better served by the Gemara's familiar differentiation between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ire, that which springs from love, fear, or awe, respectively. In the Gemara in Yuma, the distinction relates primarily to the result of tshuva rather than to its impulse. Amar Reish Lakish, Tolat Tshuva, Shezdonot Nasot Lo Kishgagot. For this he quotes the Pasuk. Eini, the Gemara asks, Amar Reish Lakish, Tolat Tshuva, Shezdonot Nasot Lo Kizachiyot. Merit of tshuva is so great that not only is the chet, which initially had been intentional, regarded as being unintentional, but actually regarded as a point of one's favor, because one has now overcome it on the way to tshuva. And for this too, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. And the response is loy kash, kan me'ava, kan me'ira. If it's me'ava, then nasenloy. Kizochius, Piyire, only Kishkaris. Presumably, however, the two questions of the result and the impulse are at least indirectly and perhaps directly related, the fruits of tshuva being a function of its character. And yet, with reference to our own focus, inasmuch as Yireh and Ahava both refer to our immediate relation to the Ribbono Shel Olam, modes of tshuva grounded in them respectively are kindred species whose differentiation hardly covers our topic. Especially, we take the term Yira to refer to Yiras HaRomeut, to awe, rather than to Yiras HaOnesh, the fear of possible punishment. Exploration of the substance of the Gemara's distinction is, of course, called for at any event, particularly with an eye to determining whether it simply entails the application of the general distinction between Oved Me'ava and Oved Me'ira to this specific venue, or whether it delineates a typology which in some sense is indigenous to Tshuva. In either case, however, in light of my earlier remark, even a cursory survey of the impulse of Tshuva leads beyond this Gemara. It leads, I believe, to discern and describe at least three principal tracks of Tshuva, each with its own primum mobile, initiating force, as a primary impetus. The first is the normative, the mitzvah aspect of Tshuva. As is well known, whether indeed tshuva is to be numbered as an independent unit within tayag mitzvahs is questionable. Some rishonim, notably the Smak, and possibly the Ramban, albeit in his Pirush al HaTorah, not in his Asogis on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, counted it, or the Rambam possibly did not. Inasmuch as the Rambam opens the Chesshuva with the formulation, Kol mitzvot sheba Torah, bein aseh, bein lo taaseh, mavar adam al achat mehen, bein bezadon, bein bishgaga, kishyaseh tshuva v'yashu mechet'o, chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, sheneemar v'itvadu et chatatam, sheneemar ish o isha ki yasu v'gomer, v'itvadu et chatatam asher asu, zeh vidui dvarim, and he goes on, vidu ze mitzvah tasei. But inasmuch as this is the formulation, that if a person wishes to be chayzer b'tshuva, is engaged in chayzer b'tshuva, then he is to present this confessional vidui, rather than opening with a categorical statement that one is obligated to engage in tshuva, the Michas Chinuch infers that, on the Rambam's view, one is not commanded to be chayzer b'tshuva at all, and that if one fails to do so, while he shall of course be liable to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the initial chet which he has failed to redress, he incurs no additional liability for abjuring tshuva, as he might, for instance, for eschewing achilles matzah. From a certain point of view, I believe Michas Chinuch's position touches upon some significant issues to which I hope to return subsequently. Although, of course, I should add that it is indeed a novel position, and one which both Alpi Halacha and Alpi Hashkafa, the Rav Zichrono Livracha, regarded as absolutely untenable. However, even if we were to subscribe to the Michas Chinuch's thesis at the purely formal halachic plane, surely no one can view tshuva as purely optional. The Sefer HaChinuch explains the principle of Einon Shinu L'Emkein Masivin, or alternatively, the Gemara's question, Oine Shemana Asara Minayin, that wherever we find that the Torah has prescribed a certain punishment, it has also prohibited the act for which there is to be a punishment, and that the Gemara therefore, various occasions, asks if we have a pasuk which tells us what the punishment is, but where is the source of the prohibition? The Chinuch explains this as precluding a person's thinking that an onesh, a punishment, may be regarded as the price extricated for an avera. But that if a person is willing to pay the price, it is perfectly licit for him to indulge himself. As the Park of Litvak is reported to have suggested, it's so enjoyable that it's worth the punishment. And it's this, the Chinuch says, that Chazal took for granted as being inconceivable, and hence, Onesh Shomanu, there must be an Asoret somewhere behind it. So central value is tshuva cannot be regarded as a matter of preference or a question of taste. And indeed, Nevi'im repeatedly issue clarion calls for repentance, whether addressed to the Tzibur, Shuva Yisrael, or Hashem Elokeinu Kishalta Bavonecha, or to Yechidim, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, Kahu B'Yoto Karov, Yazov Rasha Da'akov, Yishav B'Machshavotav, Yashom Rashom Rachameyu, V'Elokeinu Kiyah Berisloach. These are not offers. These are demands. Response to them, to normative Dvar Hashem as expressed through them, is therefore one impetus to tshuva. The first impetus to tshuva elicits a response in a direct sense as answer to a call. The other two are concerned with response of a different order, with reaction to a confronting reality, or rather, as we are dealing with two separate tracks, alternate tracks, reaction to one of two realities, either one's relation to his chet, on the one hand, or his relation to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the other hand. These are in many respects complementary and even coincident. And yet for our purposes they can and should be clearly differentiated. And they can be readily described as moral and religious tshuva respectively. By quote unquote moral, I do not mean solely mitzvot sichliot, rational norms which might have been apprehended by unaided human reason and which have a clear ethical import. I intend more broadly reaction to chet per se, which might include the wearing of shatnez or the foregoing of yeshiva sukkah, as opposed to its impact, the impact of the chet, upon the chute's relation to kutsha brichu. In analyzing chet and its ramifications, we can discern a number of interwoven strands which can be grouped under two broad categories. The impact of chet is dual. There is first the sin, the Maisa Aveira, independently considered as an incarnate evil reality whose impact is itself multiple. There is A, the specific wrong in its naked isolation, B, its contaminating effect upon the world into which it has been insinuated, either in the rational sense, with respect to evil which radiates socially, or in the metaphysical sense, which Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, and elsewhere, speaks of even a single mitzvah or aveira as affecting the fabric of the entire cosmic order. And there is C, the the contaminating effect, again, both at the rational psychological plane and at the mystical level of Timtum HaNefesh, that pervasive effect upon the soul of the sinner. And all this, of course, quite apart from the factor of the punishment, which prospectively is to be his lot. This is one overall category. And there is second, the impact with reference to the Chayte, the impact with reference to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, which is also itself multiple. A, every chet, by definition, is an affront to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. It is an act of assigning priority to one's own will as opposed to his. Second, there is kaviyachol, an impact upon Malchus Shamayim, which is limited kaviyachol by the presence, by the existence of Chet. Chazal say, that the pasuk ki yod al kes kram chamal Hashem ba'amalek, in Hashem shalei, v'lo akisei shalei, ad shiyimachez ha'rosh la'amalek. The existence of evil, kaviyochel, truncates the inherent presence of the Shekhinah as reflected through its name and through its throne. That is affected by Chet. And see, of course, Chet establishes a divisive barrier which interposes between the Chetei and the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Describing the greatness of tshuva, Rambam, the celebrated halacha in Perek Zayin, explains what had been the previous status and how it contrasts with the renewed status. Emesh, yesterday, as long as one had been in a state of sin, Hayazim Muvdal Mashem Elokei Yisrael, person had been cast off, divided to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. שנאמר אבונותיכם היו מבדילים ביניכם ובין אלוקיכם צועק ואינו נענה he remonstrates and nothing is heard שנאמר כי דרבו תפילה איני שומע ועושה מצוות אופין אותם בפניו אם presumably virtuous deeds are cast aside as being worthless and undesirable שנאמר מי ביקש זאת מידכם says ישעיהו רמוס חצירי who asked you to come into the yard, so to speak, of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So, there are two broad categories of chet, each multifaceted. And there are correspondingly two tracks, parts of the first already mentioned, to tshuva. And Avim, of course, speak of tshuva with two different prepositions. There is tshuva from something, shuvu shuvu midachichem haraim, and there is tshuva to something, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Or Shiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Now these two strands, tshuva from and tshuva to, these are respectively moral and religious tshuva. The first, a recoil, revulsion from chet. A tshuva, which is rooted in the past, anchored in the desire to break with previous modes of existence and experience. second, the tshuva too, to what? To who? To the Rabbeinu Shlomo. This is oriented not so much an evaluation and judgment of the past, a response to it in a moral sense, but it is animated by aspiration, by yearning, by longing, by striving. It is future-oriented rather than past-rooted. And these two truths, these two tracks, are respectively dominated by different elements. Moral tshuva is predominated by guilt, by hakaras hachet, in two senses, both in awareness of a particular sin, and also beyond that, the inbred sense of sin as a reality, as a pervasive force, as something which somehow has infected one's being, and from which one needs to be purified. This is the dominant sense of a moral tshuva. Religious tshuva is motivated in part, as I said before, by aspiration, but along with that, to the extent that somehow it too sits in judgment upon chet and upon the chote, not so much by sense of guilt, it's by a sense of shame. Sociologists from Ruth Benedict Down would like to speak of different cultures, shame cultures and guilt cultures. And given the tremendous emphasis upon chet and kapore and korbanos, it is common for those who like to indulge in this kind of classification applied to Yahadus, to see Yahadus as being primarily a guilt culture. But widespread or not, the notion is thoroughly erroneous. And the significance of shame as a factor within the process of tshuva, the sense that a person somehow has let the Rabbeinu Shlomo down, has let himself down, he finds it so difficult to confront. The person is deterred from chet, but mustukni shaloviv, as the Gemara says in Sota. Having not been deterred, then to view kiva yochod mustukni shlakadish boruchu, the sense of shame is overwhelming. And Chazal, in a number of contexts, of course, speak of this. Tanya, the Gemara, Dorim Lefchot, with reference to the Pasuk, which presents the element of shame, as Chazal interpreter, as defining the very purpose of Matan Torah, the Gemara says in the Dorim, Zo Busha, Levilti Techetau, continuing the Pasuk, מלמד שהבושה מביאה ליראת חטא. מכאן אמרו, סימן יפה לאדם שהוא ביישן. אחרים אומרים, כל אדם המתבייש, לא במהרה הוא חוטא, ומי שאין לו בושת פנים, ידוע שלומדו אבותיו על הר סיני. Here the Gemara speaks of the shame, which is by way of anticipation and prevention. Where there is shame, there's a guarantee of yiras chet. And it's in this sense, presumably also, that Chazal speak of what are the simonim of Knesset Yisrael, that they are by shonim, shame-faced. But Chazal know also to speak of the merit of shame post-chet. ואמר אבא ובחוני, אמר רבי יוחנן, כל עושה דבר עבירה ומתבייש בו, אמר עם רוחס אפילבייס, מוכלים לו על כל עוונותיו. And there's a wonderful phrase in Rabbi Yehuda's Nat Nishari Tshuva, but he gave us a Tshuva, which he says, V'yir'e b'chol eit, Or ha'busha, or v'yir'e b'chol eit, Or ha'busha al p'nei ha'adam, she'ne'emar, and he quotes the pasuk, cited by the Gemara Radorim, v'avut yir'atzor p'nei chelu v'klitach etah. The light, the glow of shame. It's a vital force, it's an element within the context of tshuva. With respect to both moral and religious tshuva, Shiva Mi and Shiva El Orad, we are confronted by an annoying question. The mutual, the common relation to our first element, the normative. Properly understood, for the committed Jew, and I repeat this with this tshuva that I am primarily concerned tonight, rather than with the return, the potential return of spiritual expatriates. Properly understood, for the committed Jew to cling to chet is to remain mired neck deep in excremental filth, to continue to choke on one's own pollution, to acquiesce in the crippling and defilement of one's inner sanctum. Need the dung heap's denizens be commanded to move, shower, and change? The question is equally valid with respect to the religious plane. Rambam, if one rejects the Michas Chinuch thesis and focuses, as did Rav Zichron Livracha, upon the caption Dirchas Tshuva Mitzvat Asei Achat Vehi Sheyashuv Achotei Mechato Lifnei Hashem Yitvadeh, the preamble to the Halachas, Rambam says that the mitzvah is that a person should return, recoil from his chet before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and confess. Rambam here, of course, sets down a mitzvah of moral tshuva. Others, however, who counted tshuva as a mitzvah, said psukim which speak of religious tshuva. Shiva El. Thus, the Meshi Mekobei, the Smak, Yitzunun Gimel, Lashu, it's mitzvah to return, Dichti v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, v'shamata bekolo. Clearly, an aspiration oriented to assuring the future more than to rectifying the past. Or again, the Ramban, this week's parsha in Nitzavim, the pasuk, reference to the pasuk, ki ha-mitzvah zot ha-sholochim mitzavcha hayom lo nifleiti mimcha lo chokahi, the mitzvah which I command you today is neither distant, wondrous in relation to you, nor distant from you. Ramban explained that the term ha-mitzvah zot does not refer, as in other contexts, the totality of mitzvahs, but rather the specific obligation of tshuva. V'anachon ki al kol haTorah, when the term mitzvah refers to the totality of Torah, ye'omer kol haMitzvah she'anochi mitzavcha hayom. Aval haMitzvah hazot, the expression used in this pasuk, על התשובה הנזכרת, the tshuva which is cited in this parsha, ki, referred to what is mentioned in the parsha earlier, וַשִׁבֹתָה לְבָבֶךָ וְשַׁבְתָה עַד הַשֶׁם אֱלֹהֶיךָ, מצווה שיצווה אותנו לעשות כן. That is the mitzvah of tshuva. And of course, Rabban here cites the Shaftad Hashem Elokecha, the religious tshuva. The normative question, the relation between this and the normative, could therefore be raised with respect to the religious plane as well, and perhaps even more acutely. Moral tshuva is presumably valid piecemeal. One can express vidui dvarim, make confessional statements, by way of rectifying one chet while remaining oblivious to another. We paskin, like the Gemara in Chum, that mumar lechol chele mevi korban al adam, a person disregards the issue of one is the macholas asuris, you can bring a korban with regard to another, and the chatos is not designated as zevach hashem to eva. On the religious level, however, this kind of piecemeal treatment is problematic. After all, only one sovereign will can prevail. Either a person acknowledges in Malchus Shomayim, is mevatel retzoncha mipnei retzono, or he does not. In this sense, as Milton noted in his catalog of the components of Adam's primal sin, every aveira entails radical disobedience. Each then is a rebellious affront to the Rabbeinu Shlomo on the one hand, and effectively establishes a barrier between him and the sinner on the other. And in this context in particular, we take note of the analogy between tevila, immersion, and tshuva, which the Rav Zichron Livracha once pointed out as implicit in the last Mishnah in Yume. Famous statement, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrichem Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem mitarin u mi mitair etchem avichem shebashamayim, Shenemar, Zrakti alechem mayim tohorim u tahartem, Vomeir mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Ma mikveh mitair et atmeim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitair et Yisrael. Rav Zichron Livracha noted that as immersion must be total, cannot immerse one organ at a time, so tshuva needs to be total and comprehensive. It's not subject to piecemeal treatment. But this, with reference to religious tshuva. And interestingly, conversely, if religious tshuva is intense and genuine, then it is not piecemeal in the reverse sense. It can attain results well beyond its scope, as in the Maim Rav Yechon we saw in the Gemara in Brachis, that a person who had been Ever Avera and Mitbayish, genuinely embarrassed and shamed for Father Ben Shalom, and out of that shame decided to return to him, then not only that Avera is forgiven, but Mochalin lo kol avonotav. If with regard to moral tshuva, one might say, might ask, whether the normative component is necessary, lachas kamo v'chama, with regard to religious tshuva. Rightly experienced, again, by the committed, abstinence from tshuva entails continued existential catastrophe, perpetual divorce from the ground of all being and from the ultimate source of beatific bliss, the snap of one's lifeline, and the attendant precipitous fall into the abyss of the cosmic whale, for whose entrails so long as like Yonah Hanavi, person does not aspire and attain to renewed contact with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there is no exit. Meet that Jew, be commanded to seize the moment of tshuva. Need he be told, if and perhaps an even more rigorous objection might be raised. Oughtn't we give the Bichas Chinuch's position, even in its most radical form, a fairer hearing? Might a tzivui here be not only superfluous, but damaging? With regard to such critical experiential concerns, might that a normative element which should direct tshuva into routinized channels of sensibility and implementation transmute existential confrontation into dutiful performance? These are valid considerations, and I think we ignore them at our peril. At the bottom, however, they relate not so much to the phenomenon of tshuva specifically, Esther Avedis Hashem to Halacha generally. Essentially, these contentions bring a change, if a particularly intensive one, upon the critique familiar from early Christianity to contemporary existentialism of normative mandate as the basis of the spiritual life, either on the ground that inflexible rules cannot cope with malleable contextual reality, or out of a sense that legalism both constricts spiritual liberty and deadens the inner self with which religion is ultimately concerned. But the Torah, the very term, bespeaks the normative, has of course held otherwise. It has regarded man in general, and a fortiori the Jew in particular, as a called and commanded being. The central category of Yahadus is mitzvah. Even a so-called varushus, the optional, assumes its character within the context of commandment and with reference to it. But the Torah describes in the second parasha in Bereishis the human mandate to partake of the Ben Shalom's world. It couches it in terms of mitzvah. Beitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimo mikol eitz hagan achol tochel umeitz hadaat tov vara lo tochal mimenu, ki v'yom acholcha mimenu mot tamut. The commandment here preceding both the license and the prohibition, intimating that not only the proscription against eating of the Eitz Hadaas, but the license to indulge in all others is part of a normative order which characterizes man's relation to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If this be true at the universal plane, then at the Jewish, halachas kama v'chama. Covenantal relation, we hold, is not attained through epiphanous revelation alone, but through the revealed norm. Of course, Chazal recognized the words of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Rachmana libeboy," ultimately the Ben Shem seeks the heart. But they held that normative being does not ordinarily undermine inwardness, but rather enriches it. Contrary to current popular morality, which holds with the Kantians that voluntary moral behavior is superior to submission to normative constraint, Chazal determined that Gadola Mitzuveva Oseh, Mishero Mitzuveva Oseh. And this, I believe, both because, as some Sherim noted, the Mitzuve is more likely to mind his task assiduously, and secondly, because the element of responsiveness to divine will adds a spiritual dimension not otherwise attainable. And so it is with tshuva. It's part of a dialogue with Rabbeinu Shleilam. Shuvu elai v'shuvu aleichem v'ashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. As a response to what is both a command and an entreaty, shuvu banim shovavim apam shuvoteichem, return wayward sons, I shall cure the recalcitrants. The dialogue poses a challenge and opens a channel not otherwise extant. Nevertheless, the danger of legalism, the prospect that religious existence may not be ennobled by the normative element, but reduced to it, that prospect, that danger, clearly exists here and elsewhere. Chazal were aware of the danger. And their awareness finds expression with respect to two central axes of religious life, tefillah and Torah. Speaking of the former, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah in Brachos states factually, "Hoset filato keva, ain't filato tachnuni." Tefillah, which has the character of keva, does not bear the stamp of importuni, of tachnuni, of rachmi. And the Gemara of Chotesim Mudbeis explains, there are several opinions there, but the first is, what is this philosophy, keva, my keva? Amar Rabbi Yaakov Arida, Amar Rabbi Ishiya, kol shet filato domal of kemasoi. That fila, which is engaged, indulged in, it's a matter of carrying out a duty, of fulfilling a responsibility, of relating to a burden imposed upon one. This is a factual evaluation. And the Mishnah in Avos, Rabbi Shimon posits normatively, Al tas tfilatcha keva, ela rachamim etachnonim lifnei hamakom, sheneemar ki keil chanun v'rachumu, erech apayim v'rav chesed, v'nicham al hara. Thus, with reference to tefillah, danger of tefillah being transformed from tachnunim to keva. And similarly, the possibility of masoi within a normative context with reference to Talmud Torah. Rashi Menachos of Tzadik Tet interprets the dictum of Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael, who says, Divrei Torah lo yu alech chova, to the same effect. Now she explains, lo yuhu alecha chova, kadam sheyesh lo chov, a person who has incurred a debt, omer, matay yefreenu v'yipater, when will I pay it off and be rid of it? When will the mortgage be dismissed? Kach lo yomar adam, similarly a person who got the Torah, shouldn't say, Eshne perek echad v'yipateich. I'll do my bit, I'll learn one perek, one daf yomi, one mishneh. Shiyater ha-shayi liftor atzmecha meh. You have no right to fear that somehow you've done what you need to do because you've fulfilled your legal obligation. So Chazal, the Shoinim, knew of the danger. But resolution of the danger revolves not around rejection or evisceration of the norm, but in its internalization, to the point that we strive to forego our wishes in favor of the Rabbeinu Shleilim's. This is the gist of Yudah Anosi's counsel, the Mishneh Novos, Aseret Sono Kiret Soncha, and to the extent that it is realized, the element of Tzivui serves to deepen religious consciousness and sensibility. That nevertheless, there may be some who did not attain this madrig, for whom tzivui indeed may constrict their total religious self, that remains a fact. Although, given our rejection of antinomianism in all forms, not one, of course, not a fact in which we are empowered to act. But fact or no fact, the avoidance of such a fate is, of course, part of our larger, our deeper spiritual charge. We have singled out, then, three impulses to tshuva. I have noted some of the differences in the nature and content of the resultant modes of tshuva. And yet, a lingering question persists. What, after all, enables these factors at the practical level, the level of efficient costs, to take hold? How and why does a person who presumably had paid no heed to the mitzvah of tshuva, who hitherto had been perfectly comfortable with himself and his lifestyle and his values and his relation to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, how does he now come to strive, to seek, to aspire, to transmute them? I believe we can settle upon three factors. The first is that which was emphasized by Rabbi Yehuda. The phalanx of external stimuli which have brought the message of tshuva verbally or scripturally, whether by exhortation or imprecation, to the previously complacent chote. Korev Sifra Navim, here's Mechichim, it's Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and so on. The second is a factor which Rabbi Yehuda listed first, which the Torah itself, in at least two major disparate contexts, cites: the pressure of crisis. Parshim v'eschanan v'efitz Hashem etchem bo'amim v'nishaltem etei mispar v'aroyim Hashem etchem shama v'avadtem sham Elohim aseh de'adam eitz v'aven asher lo yirun v'lo yishmaun v'lo yochlun v'lo yirichun. Even if it be in effect foxhole tshuva, it is accepted by the Rabbeinu Shleilam. It is, to be sure, an inferior tshuva, and presumably attains lesser results. This is clearly indicated in a distinction set forth in the Gemara in Yume, parallel to that which distinguishes in Ave and Yire, although probably less familiar. Have you the Rami? Have you asked of the contradiction between two psuki? K'tiv shuvu banim shovavim apam shuvotechem. Rashi explains, "Ktiv shuvu banim." Alma, so we see that balei tshuva kruin bani, they're God's children. Uchtiv, another pasuk. Kyonochi ba'alti vachem, v'lakachti etchem echad me'ir u'shnayim b'mishpacha. Sense of the imposition of mastery. Rashi explains, Kyonochi ba'alti vachem, alma avadim mikru. Regarded not as children, recalcitrant and wayward children, but regarded as servants who simply have carried out their mandate. The Gemara explains, Kan me'avo me'ira, Kan rede yisuri. Rashi explains, Kan me'avo me'ira, Kruyin bonim. Then they are regarded as children. Kanere de Yisurin, Shelo Shavua Shenit Yasru be Yisurin, then only Kruyin Avadi. So it's of a lesser order. But still, it is accepted. And let us bear in mind that, from a Jewish perspective, certainly, vis-à-vis the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, servitude, too, is an exalted state. Moreover, whatever may be the catalyst of foxhole tshuva, if it gathers momentum and becomes wholly genuine, it, too, may evidently lead to hitherto unattained spiritual heights. The renewed Kabbalah Satayra, wholly volitional, of Kimu v'Kibru Ayudim Aleihem v'Al Zaram, the Hodu Kibru b'Mei HaChashverosh, which the Gemara in Shabbos says, was a renewed Kabbalah Satayra after the Nes of the Megillah, and of a more abiding and a more permanent order, or the quasi-messianic total commitment promised by the subsequent Suki Minitsovi. Umar Hashem Elokecha et levavcha v'et levav zarecha. Le'ahava et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha l'man chayecha. Pasuk, which on the Ramban's view, signifies the very excision of the Yetzer Hara and a return to the primal state of radical innocence within which man serves the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wholly and intuitively. The third explanatory factor, I've spoken of coming into contact with the message and of confronting adversity. The third explanatory factor, if indeed it can be regarded as such, is of a wholly different order. The first two are in a limited vein deterministic, inasmuch as they relate to response to external stimuli. The essence of tshuva, however, whether it entails repentance over a single peccadillo, or the reorientation of total personality, is human freedom. It is not by accident that the most vigorously eloquent assertion of Bchira Chofshis in a Torah world appears in the middle parking of the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. To believe in human freedom is to hold the change within, initiated by the gestalt of will, intellect, emotion, may be independent of change without. That it may be introspective evaluation of spiritual regeneration without Hasaras Tabois. That change may result from the contemplation of factors which, by dint of inertia, indolence, or inattentiveness, have been previously ignored. And these may cover a broad spectrum, being not only widely divergent, but even antithetical. With respect to the related phenomenon of how to avoid chet in the first place, two Tanoim offer sharply contrasting counsel. Kavya v'mahala l'romeich, Chistakeh b'shlosha dvarim v'yatava l'de avera. Dame ayin bata, ulana taholeich, ולפני מי אתה עתיד ליתן דין וחשבון? ראי אם באת, בטיפה סרוכה, ולאן אתה הולך? למכור נפר, ריבה ותולעה. לפני מי אתה עתיד ליתן דין וחשבון? לפני מלך מלכי המלאכים, הקדוש ברוך. First Mishnah, and the preceding perek in Avos opens Rabbi Omer Izohi derech yishara sheyavor lo ha'adam kol sheyitiferet la'osar la'oser v'tiferet lo min ha'adam, and then concludes v'yistakel b'shelosha dvarim v'yataba lidei avera dam ala mala mincha ayin roa ואוזן שומעת וכל מעשיך בספר נכתבים. Now these are, of course, two very different prescriptions. The first, in the spirit, as I believe already noted, of the radical pessimism of the first Parakim in Keheles, focuses upon the insignificance of man and the vacuity of human life. A life, in the words of the skeptical interlocutor, Tennyson's The Two Voices, a life of nothings, nothing worth, that first nothing ere his birth, to the last nothing under earth. The second addresses majestic man, and the individual who has the capacity of magisterially selecting the proper course, a course which is some shade him interpret, brings glory to himself, to the Benishlem, to his fellow man, and envisions him, the worthy object of the Benishlem's perpetual regard, as living and working in terms of Milton's autobiographical sonnet, as ever in my great taskmaster's eye. Very different from Tipas Rucha, from Riva Visoleya. Yet, the ultimate goal and the bottom line appeal is, of course, similar. In a sense, of course, the call to attentive contemplation, even when most directly focused upon immediate tshuva, and not couched in exclusively religious terms, has a normative ring, even when it does not tell one how to respond to chet with ramifications. The very call to confront them impels towards tshuva, inasmuch as confrontation is at the very least the prelude to tshuva. If I may draw briefly upon analogy, liberals have questioned how could the Rambam count emunah as a mitzvah, contending that faith and belief cannot be mandated, as persons reason either accepts the tenets or rejects them. But the will in any event cannot be commanded or engaged. Of course, among others, one answer is that the Torah demands of us Yadata yom ashivota levavecha, ki Hashem v'elokim ha'shamayim mimal v'aras mitachat einot. That we revolve the matter in our hearts, place it on our spiritual, intellectual agenda, give it our utmost and our urgent attention. Once that is assured, the path to Emunah is at least open. The same is true with respect to tshuva. Here too, the phrase "Vashivosa levovecha," which the Ramban fastened upon in his formulation of tshuva as a mitzvah, appears. And here too, the critical initial step is taking heed and taking stock. The opening to tshuva is the recognition common to Socrates and the Chachmei Musar that the unexamined life is not worth living. Or at least, that the examined life will be far richer and purer. In this respect, attention to factors previously ignored may be the result of importuning solicitation. And yet, the result in tshuva may still be accurately described as reflexive hiseros. The words of the Erachayim in Vayeschanan, Tshuva sheYisrael osim me'atzman sheyakiru chiyuvam im haborei v'yachofu yitzram. Or it may analogously be induced by a batzar lecho of a different order, not the fear of a crunching juggernaut of enemy persecution, but the inner crisis, the angst resulting from the loss of anchor and possibly identity. That too, without any external pressure, the recognition of the vacuity of life, of a life devoid of its transcendental dimension, impels one to the B'nai Shleila. But this too is a tshuva which is Yisrael. The point of contemplative departure may of course vary. And vary analogously to the distinction noted earlier with regard to prevention of chet in the first place. It may be that of Rabbi Nebuchaye in his Kata Kemach. Tzarich HaTaladat, he writes in the section of Tshuva, Ki inyan HaTshuva Hu sheyitchayev Adam sheyitbonen b'shifluto v'yifchitut atzmo Ki hu afar v'eifer b'chayav rima v'toela b'moto Ki bazet yitachen lo yoter pulat HaTshuva v'yaseh Tshuva shleima b'chavana retzuya v'zaka. The Rima v'soleya, the Tipas Rucha. It's this that's to be contemplated not only by way of prospectively avoiding chet, but by way of being chesu b'tshuva subsequent to chet. Or, may conversely, more in the spirit of Rebbe than that of Akavi Mahalalil, Midar of the Chayodom and Filozako, who views Chet and is therefore impelled to tshuva against the backdrop of human majesty and the capacity for good inherent in his being and in his senses, a capacity which has been diverted and defiled and now needs to be reoriented and purified. Or, for us, Talmidim of the Rav Zichron Livracha, is more likely to be heightened by the awareness of man's latent spiritual greatness and his potential for attaining the grandest of creative gestures, the regeneration of self, delineated in the concluding chapter of Isha Aloche and elsewhere. But whatever the specific content, and the messages are not mutually exclusive, the same individual may successively or concurrently have recourse to both. The basic message is the same. Movement, change, bethink thyself, and bestir thyself. Third explanation then, what brings a person to be impelled by tshuva but not impelled by previously in any of the three tracks? This third practical explanation may simply be that there need be no explanation. None beyond the vagaries and the convolutions of the human spirit, of which Yirmiyahu tells us, "Akov halev mikol vanushu miyedanu." Human spirit, involuted, beyond understanding, who can comprehend it? And it is here, in the explanation without explanation, that the challenge and the promise of tshuva adheres. In the realization of our own capacity and our own responsibility, encapsulated the conclusion of the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah about Elazar ben Dordaya. Amru alav, the Gemara says, al Rav Elazar ben Dordaya, shlo hiniach zonachat bo'olam shlo ba'ale. Wasn't a single whore with whom he did not have relations. Pam achat shama shei zonachat b'kirchei hayam, v'etan otelet kis dinarim b'ischara. He heard of a particularly prominent prostitute who would take a lot of money for her services. Natal kis dinarim, v'alach v'avar aleha shivad naharot, traversed seven rivers in order to get to her. Bishat hergel davar, course of their contact, hificha, she let out a sigh. Amra, k'shem she'aficha hazo ena chozeret l'mkoma, just as this sigh does not return to its place, to its origin. Kach elazar ben durdaya in mekablin oto b'tshuva. So elazar ben durdaya is beyond repentance. Won't be accepted. And the Gemara narrates, halach v'yashav ben shnei arim u'gvaot. He went and he sat between two promontories and two mountains and hills. And from there he appealed to the natural world, to mountains and hills, to heaven and earth, to sun and moon, to intercede on his behalf, and to implore the Borei Olam to have mercy upon his soul. But all refused, contending figuratively that they had to assign priority to pleading their own cause in the face of the prospect of impending cosmic doom. Whereupon, Amar, Ein hadavar taluy alabi. All depends upon myself. Hiniach rosho ben birkav, he placed his head between his knees. Vegabi b'chiyan, he broke out crying, Ad sheyatzat nishmato, till his soul left him. Katzda bat kol ve'amra, voice from on high, went out and stated, Rav Elazar ben Dordaya, mezuman chayei ha'olam haba. אין הדבר תלוי על הבי. אין הדבר תלוי אלא בנו. And how do we, so-called modern Orthodox or Dati Lumi community, measure up to the challenge and the promise? The mandate of tshuva is dual. Confront, respond. I'm afraid we leave much to be desired on both counts. With respect to the first, the external stimuli impelling us to come to grips with chet on the one hand, or the Rabbeinu Shlomo on the other, are often sadly deficient. The sense of batzar lecha, of impending external danger, is by and large, fortunately, absent. This is a community which is relatively secure economically, and mostly living in the emancipated West, reasonably free of the danger of mass persecution. Baruch Hashem, it knows little of Asaras Taboris. So that factor is weak. As to the impact of Dvar Hashem, the awareness of his message, of external sources feeding this message in upon us, that voice too is often muted. The babble of competing cultural messages permeating the general scene, and hence the Jewish world, which by dint of its modernity is often in close contact with a broader ambience and suffused with some of its elements. In this setting, very often, the prospect for reflexive, self-generated hiserus also dims. In a modern world, marked on the one hand by self-reliance and flooded on the other by distractions and diversions of consumerism of all sorts, the soil is often not ripe for the growth of spirituality in general and Avodas Hashem in particular. There is, of course, as a matter of personal concern, much existential confrontation for many. But the mass base is often constricted. This is not in and of itself reason for opting out of this community. But certainly is reason for being fully and deeply aware of its problems and for coping with those problems. Every generation, the Chafetz Chaim once suggested, has its own besetting sin. And one might add, each community within that generation. The so-called Haredi world has its own problems, problems of considerable spiritual magnitude, problems which need to be addressed that are not being addressed, and which we're speaking to that audience, I would try to delineate. But speaking to this audience, I need to focus on the besetting sin, on the inherent danger of the modern community, the danger against which we need to be in our perpetual guard. But that danger is quite clearly Hesach Hadas, spiritual, religious inattentiveness. The Rebbeinu Shalom can be failed in three different ways. One may rebel against him, one may distort him, and one may ignore him. The danger of indigenous to the modern world is clearly the last. It is that Hesychadas, which is indigenous generally to the society of success, real or imagined. We'll read in short order the Tzirat Sazinu, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat, Shamanta, Avita, Kasita, Vayito Shelo Asau, Vayinabel Tzu Yishuato. And that in the Tisho is, to some extent, Avirizori, but, presumably more trenchantly, several psukim later, Tzu Yeladecha Teshi, Vatishkach Keil Mecholalecha. He became prosperous, successful, secure, self-reliant. Then you forgot the Rabbeinu Shloilom who had molded, who had given you birth. And there's this danger, that of Hesach Hadas and Shikre, against which Moshe Rabbeinu particularly enjoins to a Knesset Yisrael on the verge of attaining a pinnacle of success, the verge of conquering and settling Eretz Yisrael. Ki onochi meit baretz hazot, eineni over et hayardein, v'atem ovrim virishtem et haaretz hatova hazot. I'm not crossing what you are, but you're going to settle. Hishomeru lachem, you're going to settle? You'll be successful, you'll have a state, you'll have an economy. Hishomeru lachem, Pen tishkechu et brit Hashem Elokeichem asher karati machem. Beware lest you forget the covenant. Hashem Elokecha la'aretz hatova shenata lach. If that's the case, then in the next and succeeding psukim, Hisham Elokecha pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha לבלתי שמו מצוותיו ומשפטיו וחוקותיו אשר נוכי מצווך היום. פן תאכל וסבת ובתים טובים תבנה וישבת, ובככה ושורך ירביון וחסר וזהב ירבה לך, וכל אשר לך ירבה, ורם לבביך, ושכחת את השם אלוקיך, המוציאך מארץ מצרים, מבית עבדים. And it is this, Hesach Hadas, which religiously speaking is a tragic flaw, the Achilles heel of a world, a modern world, general and Jewish, which has attained a measure of success in enlarging, in Bacon's celebrated phrase, the bounds of human empire, in asserting a degree of presumed control over its environment and beyond. Of course, I'm not talking about total shikr, total obliviousness. It's rather of Hesach Hadas, of inattentiveness. Not of oblivion, but to one degree or another, or another, of benign neglect. A message which needs to be hammered home to this kind of world, to this kind of community, is that of the Pasuk in Keheles. Uzechor es borecha bimei bechurotecha. Even in the midst of vibrant youth and heady success, remember. It is against this Hesach Hadas that we need to guard. To guard and to fight. Inwardly and outwardly. Personally and communally. By deepening our own religious awareness. By sharpening our spiritual sensibility. By expanding and intensifying the Torah education of our children,
by enriching the Jewish character of our culture, by saturating our world with a far greater measure of Rabbein Shlalem consciousness and Torah consciousness. So this is one issue. Confront. Having confronted, what of our response? How do we measure up here? Here too, we are in difficult straits. Amar that Rabbelozer ben Durdaye, Ein adavar talui alabi, Hiniach rosho bein birkav, Vega'a bifchiyai, burst out crying. Midache atshuvas as the Rambam, that supposedly rationalistic and philosophic Rambam, midachei atshuva liyot hashav tzoeg tamid lifnei Hashem bebechi v'tachnunim, it is of the manifestations of tshuva, of the means of tshuva, for a person who engages in it, to be constantly crying before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with tears and importunity. Where do we stand in relation to Bechi? Our gut instinct is that Bechi, that's the primitive, the ignorant, the superstitious, but we are sophisticated, intellectual, cultured, and therefore, of course, be straight. Vainish. Amidst all this decorum and restraint, can't we at least at Ne'ila shed some genuine tears? Wordsworth, in a celebrated line, spoke of thoughts that lie too deep for tears. The typical modern community of Beis Knesses, do the thoughts lie too deep for tears or too shallow for tears? Of himself, Rabbeinu Shel Olam affirms, "Mistorim tivke nafshi." Do we at least cry with decorum and restraint and not a consideration? A mistori. We once had a great ancestor who was sophisticated, cultured, urbane, successful, but he found his ultimate spiritual redemption and return, his ultimate spiritual peace, only through Bechi. Lo yachol Yosef litapek l'chol ha'nitzavim alav, v'yikra otziu kol yishmeu alai, v'lo amad ish ito b'itvada Yosef alecha, ויתן את קולו בבכי, וישמעו מצרים, וישמע בית פרעה. It's only after the great, successful, cultured, sophisticated, urbane, Mishne Lamelech of Paro was able to break down, he was able to find himself again within the bosom of his family, within his own bosom. And again, after Yaakov's death, it was the Bechi of Yosef of all the Shvatim that the Torah singled out. Vayichal Yosef al pnei Aviv, Vayipol Yosef al pnei Aviv, Vayefka lav
Vayishaklo. And if in relation to a father or boss of Adam, so with respect to how one makes one's peace with him, in relation to Avinu Shebashamayim, Lachas kama v'chama. So made Mus Yuknesh Yosef HaTzadik animate us, if not to be goyah b'bchia, to totally dissolve in tears, at least to open somewhat that terrible dam which inhibits our moral response to Chet or our religious response to Ben Shloilam, which inhibits our giving vent to our sense of shame, of guilt, or both, which inhibits our relating to the past or aspiring to the future. So let us, with all our hearts and souls, strive to remember and to relate, to confront and to respond. And let us have the wisdom and the courage to structure, to restructure our lives accordingly. But let us not, despite the failings and the weaknesses notwithstanding, let us not, chas v'sholem, lose hope or become faint-hearted. For in the course of our discussion heretofore, we have omitted one critical, one major element. We have spoken of different impulses to tshuva: normative, the moral, the religious. We've tried to point out factors which brought us towards them respectively. And an ideal plane, with an eye, say, to the Rambam's Hilchos Teshuva, we can perhaps indeed settle for these, or view them as a triad of interrelated aspects of the spiritual life, leading to tshuva shlema and full commitment. Rambam starts with the mitzvah of tshuva. Perek Yud speaks in conclusion both of pure moral idealism and of total passional devotion. First, Oved me'ahava, Osek b'torah v'mitzvot, Olech m'tivot ha'chokhma, Lo m'pnei davar ba'olam, V'lo b'lirat ha'ra'a, V'lo p'nei lirash ha'tova, Lo seh ha'met, Neshu ha'met, V'sof ha'tova l'avo b'glala. Pursuit of truth, of the good, the noble, the beautiful for its own sake. Subsequently, a devotional statement. Kitzadi ha'ava ru'uya, ishu'av et Hashem, ha'ava gdola yitera aza me'od, ad sh'te'e nafsho gshu'a ba'avat Hashem, v'nimtza shogeba tamit yilchole choli ha'ava. Norm at the beginning, the moral idealism and the passional devotion at the end, that covers the whole scene. But at most, the Yechidei Skula. The Rambam himself in that perek states that Avodah Me'ava is the achievement of rare of singular individuals. Umaala zo hi maala gdola meod, vein kol chacham zo chela. What of everyone else? Is that able to attain this threefold unity? Perhaps not even one of the paths. Well, for him, there is a lesser order of tshuva, and
There is a factor which impels that too. Impels and accepts. Within the total picture, the full equation of tshuva, of course, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as a meishi, he is central, he is critical. In this respect, we need perhaps to differentiate between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, to the extent that it is, as the first of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a Yom Tshuva, relates primarily to moral tshuva. And as such, it sets high standards, the standards of the pristine perfection of the proto-historical Bria of Zayim Tchilas Ma'asecha Azikarli Yom Rishon. Yom Kippur, however, is preeminently the day of religious tshuva, of return to, of regeneration to reconciliation. It is the day of tshuva to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and his standards are less exacting. Rosh Hashanah is the day of tzaddikim gemurim. Yom Kippur is the day, as Chazal tell us, of Beinim. Rosh Hashanah is the day of those who have already been chayzer b'tshuva. Yom Kippur is the day of Shavim. With reference to Yom Kippurim, even the Chachomim would disagree with Rebbe. Rebbe thinks that Yom Kippur is mechaper even upon those who are not Shavim. The Chachomim would challenge this. Do not say that it's only mechaper for those who were chayzer b'tshuva at the deadline. All they require is that the miskaper be among the shovim, among those who are in the process of tshuva, aspiring towards rectitude and reconciliation, rather than having achieved them. And that person be a shov, this is not something Shabbat only accepts, is something which he moves, towards which he impels, which he helps us mold. Yom Kippurim has not only the Pseira, that if one is simply among the Shovim, those who are groping, grappling, struggling, striving, that this tshuva is to be accepted and is to attain kapare. There are yet gladder tidings. Kippur, singularly a day, which is symbolic of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as the impulse, as the impetus toward tshuva. Not only in the sense that it is toward him that we aspire, but that he is an efficient cause of the aspiration. He moves us, he prods us, he helps us. He not only accords us the chesed of graciously accepting the tshuva we have wrought, spirit of Hashiveinu Hashem Elacha v'Nashuva Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem, we envision him as being not only that towards which, towards whom we return, but he helps us, moves us to return. He who is actively engaged in helping us on the road to reaching him. Aboli Tahir, Chazal say, Messiahs. Person is amongst the Shovim, amongst the aspiring. If that is the direction, then he's helped. And by whom is he helped? By the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And never is there a day of Aboli Tahir, never a day of greater siyua than a Yom Kippur. The day when kol chataseichem lifnei Hashem titochu. So b'yom Hashem agodel v'hanoiro, as we stand before the Rebbeinu Shloilom, intoning Psach lo nushar, Beis Nilasha Kifano Yoim. Even as we are mindful of our imperfections, aware of our weaknesses and the flaws of our tshuva, and yet aspiring to a better day and a better self, may we be zeiche to give shavach v'hoidore to the Rebbeinu Shloilom, not only for accepting our tshuva, but for impelling that truth, for aiding us to the realization of Rav Akiva's exclamation, Ashrechem Yisrael ifnei mi atem metarim umi metair etchem, Avichem shebashamayim, shenemar v'zrakti alechem mayim torim utahartem, v'omer mikve Yisrael Hashem, ma mikve metair et hatorim, אף הקדוש ברוך הוא מטהר את ישראל.